Hello, everyone. Welcome to the New Vision Podcast. My name is Kelsey McAlexander, and I serve on staff here at New Vision as the College Ministry Associate. And I really love and I'm super excited about this new series called Out of Context, because anyone who knows me well knows that I'm a little bit of a Bible nerd. And I think it's just so important for us to understand Scripture in its original context instead of just using it to mean whatever we want it to mean in a given situation. I think a lot of times we kind of take Scripture and apply it to the situation that we're in. And although Scripture is certainly applicable to a lot of the situations that we face, I don't think it's ever wise to try to bend Scripture to fit what we think. And so that's really a lot of what this series is about. And so I'm super excited to jump in today. And we're going to be looking at Matthew 18, verse 20. I think this is definitely a relevant verse for this series. So Matthew 18, verse 20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." And so, again, I think that this verse is a perfect example of a verse that in the church we frequently use out of context. And it's typically used to make a claim that no matter how many people are together, whether it's two or 200, God's presence is there with them. And although that is certainly true, based on what we see in Scripture, in the sense that God's presence is always in the presence of believers, that's not necessarily what this specific verse is pointing to. And so I think one of the easiest ways to understand context and to understand what verses are really saying is to read the passage that the verse is a part of. And so I just want to read the overall passage that this verse is included with. So it's going to be Matthew 18, verses 15 through 20, and I'm going to read it in the CSB. So this is Jesus talking, and he says, "If your brother sins against you, go tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. But if he won't listen, take one or two others with you, so that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every fact may be established. If he doesn't pay attention to them, tell the church. If he doesn't pay attention even to the church, let him be like a Gentile and a tax collector to you. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them." And so, again, this is the larger passage that this verse is included in. And so when we look at this chapter of Scripture, all of Matthew 18, really what Jesus is doing is he's offering guidance for the church, and he's really teaching the importance of humility and forgiveness within the body of believers and just promoting unity in that body. And so that's the overall context of this chapter. And so as Jesus is speaking about that, the question arises about how to deal with conflict and really how to find reconciliation with other believers when something comes up where there's division. And so Jesus goes on really in this passage to lay out a step-by-step process. And so we see first, Jesus says, okay, if you have a frustration with someone or someone has made you upset about something, the best thing to do is first go tell him his fault between you and him alone. And so he's saying, don't talk to five other people about it. Don't sit and be angry about it on your own, but go directly to him and talk to him about what happened, what led you to be frustrated, to be upset. Go first to talk to him. And I think the reason that Jesus offers this is because so often we assume things about people's intentions when they never even meant for it to come across in the way that we received it. And so Jesus is saying this is the best first step, is to just make sure that there aren't even any misunderstandings between the two of you. So that's the first step. And then the second step is take one or two others with you. And so Jesus really says, hey, if you go and you talk to that person and they aren't receptive, they aren't repentant, they aren't willing to receive what it is that you're saying, then one or two other people that love that person, care for that person, want to lovingly speak truth to that person, take them with you to seek reconciliation with whoever it is. And then again, if that doesn't work, there's a third step: tell the church. And so this is inviting church leadership, church authority, someone who represents the church to into the situation, and allowing them to speak life and speak truth and seek wisdom and reconciliation in that relationship. And then finally, Jesus says, if this doesn't work, let him be like a Gentile and a tax collector to you. And so this is a little bit confusing, but in that context, Jesus was essentially saying that if they still aren't repentant at this point, maybe that's time to make the choice to not be in such close relationship with them anymore. It seems like they aren't, they don't desire to have reconciliation if you have followed these steps the way that Jesus lays them out. And so, again, this is kind of the process that Jesus gives for how to address conflict that exists with other believers. And again, if all of these things don't work and the person you are trying to address conflict with is still not receptive at the end of this process, Jesus says, truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you on earth agree about any matter that you pray for, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. And so here, again, Jesus is really talking about dealing with conflict and prayerfully consulting with God and other believers in the process. And so going to God, seeking his will, his desire, how to honor him, and then also inviting other believers to seek God in it and to help you find reconciliation. And so this is where the verse that we are talking about really comes into play. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there among them. And so in this context, essentially what Jesus is saying is that when several believers respond in prayer to situations similar to that described in the passage, so situations of conflict where there are issues that have come up, when several believers respond in prayer to those types of situations, their collective discernment about how to respond is backed by heavenly authority. And so, again, the guideline of two or three who have first responded in prayer will hopefully eliminate the possibility of an individual being treated unfairly if they're really seeking God and seeking his will in it. And so the implication of the passage is really that God will give the best answer to those prayerful believers through the teachings of Jesus and through communion with him. And so when believers who have been seeking God are in prayerful agreement about something, his guidance and presence will be in the midst of it when it is sought out. And I just think that this offers so much clarity on that verse. And there's a scholar named John Noland, and he has a commentary on the book of Matthew. And he says that the process as described in chapter 18 is sure to give the results that Jesus promises if those participating in the process follow the guidelines that he has given. And so, again, we're only going to get the results that Jesus is promising if we are obedient to the way that Jesus has asked us to do it. And so I think reading the passage in this context really reveals Jesus's character and heart for unity among believers. And we can see this even more clearly in the next passage, because Peter responds to this teaching of Jesus by asking a question about forgiveness. And so he asks, Lord, how many times must I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? As many as seven times? And a lot of us already know Jesus' response. And he says, I tell you, not as many as seven, but 70 times seven. And so right after this passage that we just read about reconciliation, Jesus is saying, even if you go through this process of conflict resolution and the person does not respond in repentance, but then eventually they come back and they say, okay, never mind, I do want to seek reconciliation, I do want to repent, we're still called to forgiveness, rather than using this passage and Jesus's guidance in this passage as a way to hold a grudge or to wrongly use the name of Jesus to withhold forgiveness from someone. And so he calls us to continual forgiveness And again, I think we get to see even more of God's heart in understanding this passage correctly. And we don't lose the reality of the fact that God is present with us no matter where we are. As 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19 tells us, we as believers are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so that's the good news, that God's presence dwells with us no matter where we go and no matter who we're with. And we don't lose that truth just because that's not what this passage is pointing to. And so, again, I think it's just super important to go through this process as we read scripture of looking at verses in their context and reading them within the passage that that verse is included in to really understand what it means instead of assigning our own meaning to it. And I think in doing so, we get so much more out of our time in God's word because we're really understanding what he was trying to communicate to us when it was written. And so I know I was really confused about this passage for a long time, and I often assigned my own meaning to it. And so I hope that this was helpful for you and easy to understand. And I think, again, there are a lot of other verses that are frequently taken out of context in the church, and we don't even realize that that's happening. And so I'm just excited to hear what we're going to continue to talk about on the podcast in the next few days. I know that there are lots of leaders in the church who are going to share some great insights on Bible passages in their original context, and I'm excited to hear what they have to say. So I hope that you'll join me and keep listening over the next few days and weeks, and I hope that you have a great rest of your day. Mm-hmm.